Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the river today. I'm Maxine Marcellini, and I'm happy you're joining me. I am the author of Rebuilding Families, Blended Families, Raising Children in Blended Families, and Rebuilding Families, $1 at a Time. That is our latest book, and I've co-authored that with my husband, Charlie Marcellini, who is going to be our special guest today. But first, let me welcome in my co-host here, too, and that is Jeannie St. John Taylor. Are you with us today, Jeannie?
I think so. I'm trying real hard here.
Oh, well, tell the guests who you are for a minute.
I am Jeannie St. John Taylor, and I'm an author with over 25 books that have been published. You can find more information about me at my website, www.jeanniestjohntaylor.com.
Okay, so we are off to a good start today. We've had a sunshine day here in Portland, Oregon, and yesterday was rain, but you know what? It's a good day. Every day's a good day when you're walking with the Lord, and we can find so much more to appreciate when we walk with Him. And today is our Halloween day. And I don't know what your plans are later, but we'll be going to a little harvest festival with our granddaughter this evening. And I'd like to wish all of you a very happy Halloween and a very safe Halloween. But today we're going to be talking about something very interesting, because ghosts are on our mind, and goblins and all those things that Halloween actually just conjures up in our minds that are floating around. If we go around the city into markets and things, we see people in costumes and all kinds of outlandish things, and haunted houses and stuff are being featured around our city too. But there's something about ghost cities that bears some reality to what's happening in the world today. And our guest today happens to be Charlie Marcellini, my husband, who is also a financial expert. His background happens to be as that of a certified public accountant, a securities broker, registered investment advisor, a financial planner, pastor, and a seminar instructor for Crown Financial Ministries. He is respected widely for his expertise in money. So welcome to the program today, Charlie.
Great to be on with you today.
I know, it's kind of seldom we do this, but it's fun when we do. And our topic of conversation today is going to really be centered on China. And you and I went to China 3 or 4 years ago and thoroughly loved visiting the country and floating down the Yangtze River amongst the land tours that we took, but we found them to be a very warm and inviting people. But there are things going on in China today that are causing us reason to be concerned. And the topic of today's program happens to be ghost cities and what is it about China that could come back to haunt us. So would you start out today by telling us what we're talking about when we hear China has built ghost cities?
Well, I thought about this, Maxine, about 4 years ago when we were taking that river cruise, 7-8 days down the Yangtze River. As you know, they flooded that river, and they got rid of a lot of these peasants that lived along the riverside, so they had to move them out because they wanted to get more boats going up and down the river, a lot more commerce going on, because they were doing a lot more business throughout the world. They're exporting and importing. So they started. I noticed as we were riding along, we took pictures of these gigantic cities along this river. I couldn't believe, you know, these skyscrapers were all there. I never realized what they were. Could we just ride along and really nobody really explained that to us. So I, being a curious type person, and I know it cost a lot of money to build that, and it didn't look like many people were running around those buildings, so I decided to Google it when I got back, and I've been looking at it ever since, and it's been a growing concern for me and many other people. And anybody wants to go on, just Google China's ghost cities. And what that really amounts to is they started about 10 years ago building 10 cities, major cities, cities the size of Seattle, Washington, which can house 5 to 7 million people, cities the size of San Francisco, 8 or 9 million people, size like New York, 12 to 13 million. There's cities of all different sizes and shapes. And what's amazing about it is, block after block, all you see is apartment building, glamorous public building, magnificent public parks, sports complexes, even art museums, and they have also government buildings, street lights, the streets are all finished. There's only one thing missing. There's no people living in them. It's absolutely amazing. They have malls, which are the largest malls in the world, basically empty, with the escalators, the elevators, and they have security running around. And so there's a lot of documentaries have been done on them as I kind of watched them online and trying to figure out what in the world is going on. So they right now, the last report is they have, listen to this one, 64 million empty apartments. And we call them apartments because they to us they're apartments. They're really condos. And they want, and this is then homes. They're trying to actually sell to people. So they have so much money involved, and all their exporting to America and to Europe and throughout the world, they've done so well with their cheap prices that people, were willing to buy all their clothes and everything they really manufacture, that they've reaped in all kinds of money. So they got to put the money somewhere and also put their people somewhere in the future. So they're not like America, what we talked about a few times, Maxine. They don't have a Congress to go to, which is basically frozen in time. They don't get anything really much done anymore. So they have more, it's a communist country, it's a dictatorship. So when they want something done, they just pass the word down and they provide the money and it just gets done. And so that's basically how these cities were basically built. And I don't know much detail you want to go in that. A lot of people would ask, well, geez, why have all these cities with no people in them? There's 64 million apartments, that are really empty, and they have everything that surrounds the city that city really needs. The infrastructure is already there. Water, sewer system, everything is all there, and it's empty. And what they, really, it's a lot of speculation right now, but one of the main things you read about China has what you call gross national pride. Everything that's built in that country for themselves and stuff that they export is by far 5-6 times what most countries can produce. Like our gross national product this year will probably run about 2%. It's run 2.5% the last quarter. That's how much we produce manufacturing-wise for our own stuff and what we export. Well, there's been running in double digit, 12, 13, 14, 15%, and they're moving ahead. So part of this number is exaggerated because it's not real, meaning they're building these ghost cities. And that adds to their, they look pretty good worldwide that they're building, But they're really building, go ahead.
So is this just sort of like them trying to fool the world that their economy is really clicking along quite well and they are producing a lot while it's just a shell that they're producing?
To a point. I believe that's what they make people believe. China is the next superpower. They're given a perception of that, but eventually they will become it the direction they're going in. And as I was doing some of my research on that, is what they're really trying to plan. Right now, they have people speculating, buying all these condo-type apartments and shopping centers, and so they're driving the prices up. Well, people really can't afford, these peasants can't afford to live there. They're making meager wages. But what they're trying, they're looking so far ahead. I am really impressed. They're like 20 to 50 years ahead in their goal planning. You want to contrast that with America? We haven't had even a budget, a current budget, for the last 3 years to even run this country from year to year. So we're behind the eight ball, and they're way ahead. They have a tremendous savings rate. Over 40% of what the people make, they save. And they don't spend like we do. So China has nearly, I just read the last week, they have exactly $2.85 trillion to spend. Trillions. And where do they get this money from? From people like us in America, from Europe. We buy all their merchandise, pick up all your labels, anything you pick up today. 90% of the goods and services, especially if you go to places like Walmart, or even Macy's and places like that are made in China. So they're making lots of money, and we give them our money, and they're also lending money to us, and they're making money on that. So now they're coming back and buying, building stuff and buying stuff throughout the whole world. So I don't know how deep you want to go into all that, Maxine.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm here too, yeah. My son has a really good friend who lives in China, and what that friend told him, and I'm trying to be really non-specific because, you know, it's not that you don't want people to hear about it and that people check up on them. So she said that 80% of the real estate is owned by the government, that the cost of real estate has gone up, and I think it was 10 times since 2007, and that no people can afford anything. It's just all government-owned. So that's part of the problem, isn't it? And, I mean, I don't know if that feeds into your point or makes it.
Well, yeah, it's all to speculate. They allow people to go and speculate. But the big thing is that they need, when somebody buys something, they need to put half down and pay it off in 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't have the same situation we have. But here's the plan. Their plan looks like it's over the next 20 to 50 years. They have a population of 1.4 billion people, okay? We have about 310 million people for here. So they have approximately 800 to 900 million people that are basically peasants right now that they're trying to move up in wages and positions in middle class, what we consider middle class, so they can afford places like this. So eventually they got a little bubble like we do with all this speculation. You know, people think, well, they're building all this stuff and people are going to go and buy it, and nobody's buying because they can't afford it yet. But eventually they're going to plan to build, believe it or not, they built 10 cities a year for the last 10 years, so that's 100 cities built, even in the middle of the desert, and these cities are complete and empty. Now they're going to have to double that up to 20 cities a year for the next 20 years. So that they're going to need that just to shift their population when their these peasants become just like our nation. You go way back. Well, my grandmother came from Italy. I mean, she was basically a peasant. She couldn't read. She couldn't write. And she never really made any money. And she lived in the ghetto with no toilet, you know, and no shower, no nothing. So this is where these people are at. Look where we're at today. Look what I came from a couple of three generations, okay? So that's where they're planning to go also. And so they're going to need all this space for their people. So eventually what happened in this country, that these prices will actually decrease where people, it will meet where people can afford it, okay? But what I love about that, you can watch these videos online, there's a tremendous amount of information that we have. This picture's from the Google Earth. You can see it from the sky in pictures. You can see videos of these towns and these cities that they're building. That they are, even though they're 10 years old, they're maintaining them. And our country here, we have people that are foreclosed. They trash the homes. They strip the houses. You know, it's a different society here. I don't know what's happened here. And I'm not saying communism is the best way to go. But they have a lot of good points in how they get things done. This is how we do things. We're actually right now plowing homes in Detroit, Michigan, for an example, just because the houses are so trashed. And a lot of these houses were new homes. They don't have that type of a problem. They have a little more control over their people. So
they've got a lot of control over their people that we don't necessarily want to come to America. So what you're describing is happening on China's soil. What is happening from China that's affecting our country and perhaps Canada and other countries in the world today? Why should we be worried about what might come back to haunt us out of this? And what is the main reason that we are getting involved with China?
We're getting involved with China because we have no choice. They had money, and they're buying our bonds, and you know, we talked about scripturally. I want to read some scripture later on. But, you know, the borrower is servant to the lender. And we need them. We're broke. we're a debtor nation. We owe a ton of money to everybody, basically, even to ourselves. And China has a lot of, they're the opposite. They're what we used to be many years ago. They have a savings economy, not a debt-ridden society. So they have these trillions of dollars, not only to invest in their own nation, but they coming, for instance, I've got a ton of articles that I pulled off, because I've known, but just to remind myself on this call, they're constructing a 50-square-mile self-sustaining city about 20 miles south of Boise, Idaho, right now. And self-sustaining means they're building, mimicking the same type of situation, these ghost cities that they have in China, they're starting to build here right now. And they're just not building, just to give us jobs. But our politicians think that we're going to have a whole ton of jobs. We're going to get a few jobs out of them. This is going to be a Chinese-type complex, self-sustaining. They're not going to need anybody outside of it, okay? So not only have they gone to Boise, they've gone to Ohio, they've gone to Pennsylvania. They're moving throughout this whole country. And what happens is their investment, I've read a headline that their new investment is the savior to the world right now. People need their money because we're all broke. And our governments would not, 20, 30 years ago, even considered doing this kind of stuff. But we need that money so bad for our economy to grow, to get some people to work. We sold our soul to the Chinese communist government.
So are you saying, Charlie, that the Chinese are building those cities here?
They're starting to right now. Right now, I got an article right in front of me. That they're beginning a process of constructing 50-square-mile self-sustaining city south of Boise, Idaho, right outside the airport area right now. And they're going through all the approvals right now. They get all the design for the city and so forth. And a lot of cities like Boise, the governors, your commissioners, your county officials, your city mayors, they're begging people to come over here. Not only are they doing that, they're going all to Canada, I'm reading right now. I understand Canada, they have so many mineral resources that China wants to buy up the world right now. I have a headline that says here, China, a black hole sucking the world's natural resources. They're going out trying to buy all the mines, all the aluminum, all the minerals. They need it for their own growth in their own country, number one. And number two, they're going to own these. So when the United States needs something, guess what? We're going to have to go to China. They're also in Texas right now buying up a lot of these oil reserves, the stuff that we buried that we're not allowed to extract. Eventually, they're going to have enough power, enough money, they're going to start moving politicians around because money talks, money is power. So your answer is yes.
I know on a personal level that they really undercut us deliberately. Like one time I was working as a designer for a publishing company, and this is within the last 5 years. And one project had to be stopped because China was dumping paper on the United States, so the United States was going to put a big tariff on, but then the United States didn't. And so the project was done, and what they sold us was paid almost nothing because they pay their people nothing. So the government still makes it work for the government.
Well, the government's controlling their currency. Give you a very good example, a very current one. As you know, that the EU right now, the European Union, with the problems they're having, they need a bailout. So China put themselves in the middle of it. They reached out to China to bail them out. And they haven't done it yet. They're in the process. A lot of countries don't like China coming in. And they have conditions. Every time they give you money, and their condition is don't play around with our currency. Everybody wants them to get their currency, let it float, so it has some, because it has a lot of value, and they're suppressing it so that all their exports are cheap, okay? And so that puts out a lot of Americans out of work, basically, So they're trying. So now, again, as people ask them to put money in, they put conditions on, hey, don't bother us. We're going to do what we want with our currency. If you want our help, this is the way it is. If you don't, that's okay too. And that's what they're doing. They're taking over the world right now because they have money and the world doesn't. And they have to make a home right now for 800 million people. And to, you know what 800 million people is? That's the whole population of the United States, the whole population of 23 European Union countries, and then some. So they have a great plan, and that's where they're going.
And the rest of us are going to be wondering what happened to us in a few years, our children, our grandchildren. What does the political scene necessarily look like if China comes in and takes over so much of the land and so much of the opportunities that they're grabbing onto right now? And it's not just – I've seen articles where they are buying up portions of bank stocks and all kinds of things. So what does the political scene start looking like?
Control. They'll be able to dictate their political philosophy. You know, here we, you know, right now, I know a lot of this country is involved, you know, in Muslim. They're worrying about, you know, what's their movement, okay? This is a larger movement. The people are just getting, they got sucked in over the years, the last 30 or 40 years, what you call the American dream. The American dream was based on a facade. It was based on smoke and mirrors with all this money. And now all this money they spent, and now then they overspent and end up borrowing, is coming back, and we're giving control. What that means is the philosophy of China is they don't have a government, a democracy, that discusses things and that's good for all people. They come in, there's a very few of them that make a decision and say, this is what how we're going to run this city, this is the way we'll run this state, this is the way we're going to run this business, and nobody's going to tell them what to do. They'll have control. And, you know, a communist regime is not a nice place to be under control. So that's, I believe, you know, eventually that's where we're going.
Do you have any kind of solutions for us right now or ways to think, Charlie? I mean, this all kind of
scary. Our political system is insane. I mean, right now, 90% of people think have a favorable rating for our Congress. 9%. They're worthless. We're not functioning. We're frozen. And we need to change. I wish we could fire, you know, we have term limits. And this way people would be statesmen and not be have lobbyists telling people what to do. I think people are greedy in our country. We're selfish in our country. And we're not a godly nation as we're called to be. Okay? And with that in mind, I just want to read real quick a real scripture that Maxie and I have used a lot. This comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 28, has a lot of this. But it basically says, if you diligently obey the Lord your God and be careful to do all his commands which I command you today, the Lord your God who set you high above all the nations in the earth, all these blessings will come upon you. And this is the key. Next sentence, he said, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. So what happened is borrowing become a curse for our disobedience, basically. Okay? Mm. So, and I can go on. I know we don't have the time, but that gives you kind of a sample, and there's tons of scripture like that. So God's telling us to be lenders and don't be borrowers because we've become slaves to the people that lend to us. And we can bring it back to our individual level, to you and I, all of us, as we live each day. We know people are subservient to the banks, to the people who lend money to them, to the money they borrow on cars, to our churches that owe money. It goes on and on and on. So what happened? We sold our soul for the sake of reaching into the future to our children, our grandchildren's money, and we spent it today to have a cushy type of a life, we thought. And we put ourselves in this position. We have to stop borrowing money, begin to save money, and begin to make decisions as a sovereign nation as one time we did. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, we're going to become a tenth-rate nation and don't mean much anymore.
Really scary.
It is scary.
Yeah. It should be a topic that all of our listeners should be very interested in. And
yes.
I think we should let others know about this because I quite truthfully think most of our population has just closed their eyes and turned off their ears to what's really going on around them. And then when it happens, they're going to rise up and say, where'd that come from? Well, it came because we dropped our guard and we didn't care about going into debt as a country. And I'm just appalled at our leaders for taking us there. And as individuals, if we can start monitoring our own habits and pay as we go better, and as our nation, and then influence that. And like Charlie says, getting some of the statesmen back into the government of our country, we're going to be far better off. I'm concerned about what's going to happen in the future, and I think we do have real things that will come back to haunt us from what's happening in on China's homeland right now.
So now, go ahead, Charlie.
No, my heart, Maxie and I, we think about our own children and grandchildren. What kind of a world they're going to be living in? And we sold them down the river. We sold our future generations to China, basically. We did, as a collective adults. That basically, we all were a party to live in this good life, the big home, the big cars, you know, the nice vacations, the nice clothes, all this kind of stuff. And never thought for a moment where the money was going to come from to pay for all that.
Or where the products come from that are way cheaper than they should be because there's a government who's willing to hurt their own people for the sake of the government.
That's because they want power. They want to be a superpower and lead the world, and that's they go. And when you have money, you buy up all the resources in the world. They're buying up right now. You're going to have to line up with them. It reminds me of the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, the plan
that was
given to Egypt. It falls right into it. Egypt owned everything, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody had to come to Egypt. They had all the power.
Yeah, very similar, isn't it? Because it's always an economic battle, that trumps every other kind.
But the key to it all, that Joseph was faithful and obedient to God, no matter what the circumstances were.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well,
that's what
Charlie, we're starting to run out of time now, so would you tell the people a little bit about what's happening in our book and how they can get their hands on it?
Well, our book, Rebuilding Families, $1 Time, it talks a lot about what we're talking about today, where we've been. It's basically a summation of our experiences, especially mine, Maxine, in my financial life and what I've encountered in my life with people and what I've seen in the world and the changes that have happened just in half my lifetime, not all my lifetime. So I've kind of laid all that out. And what I try to do, what God says in the Word, and it is in the parable of a dishonest servant, I love to refer to that, in Luke 16, there's a verse 8, that he commends the guy, not for being dishonest, but he commends him for his shrewdness. He said, the people of the world are more shrewd than the people of the light. We need to walk in the light of the Holy Spirit. That's what our book is really talking all about, is educating people to what makes the world tick, how does money work? And God wants us to know that. That's why there's so much in the Bible about money. He wants us to understand that. He wants us to have the light of the Holy Spirit so people would come to us, not to China. The church should be the light on the hill he talks about.
Right.
That people want to gravitate to, that we have the answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, so the listeners can find our book at rebuildingfamilies.net. There's a link that takes you to amazon.com right there. The book is available in paperback at $12.99 and in Kindle at $6.99. So thank you, Charlie, for being a part of our program today. So appreciate
that.
Go ahead. Say one last closing remark.
I really enjoyed that. It just really makes me think. Thank you for that.
Okay, and we just... thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Jeannie, for being here today. And thank you, listeners, for joining us at the river. What a fun day we've had. Please mention KRVR Blog Talk Radio to your friends. We'd appreciate you spreading the word. Our programs broadcast on Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, and you can always find them archived later. So you can download them even as a podcast or something else. So please take a moment to rate that program at www.blogtalkradio.com/KRVR. This is Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor reminding you that you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you, with us, and only a prayer away. We look forward to you joining us again next week at the river. God bless you and goodbye.